It's the Opperman Report. Join digital forensic investigator and PI Ed Opperman for an in-depth discussion of conspiracy theories, strategy of New World Order resistance, high-profile court cases in the news, and interviews with expert guests and authors on these topics and more. It's the Opperman Report. And now, here is investigator Ed Opperman.
Okay, welcome to the Opperman Report. I'm your host, private investigator Ed Opperman. You can find me at Opperman Investigations and Digital Forensic Consulting, either through my website, emailrevealer.com, or you can just email me directly at oppermaninvestigations@gmail.com. If you like our show, be sure and check out our Patreon. It's a big support if you could join Patreon. All the shows you hear Monday to Friday on AMFM Radio, you can find on Patreon with all the commercials and the ads cut out. And plus, we have new content that we put up there constantly. I have exclusively an unpublished article about Craig Spence, who is that congressman who was mixed up in an old Franklin cover-up scandal. So that's exclusive to Ed Opperman's Patreon, if you want that. Our archives are always free. Go to Spreaker.com, get all the shows there. There's a chat room. You get an email notification when we put up new content. And I do a live show there every Friday night. Our guest today is Levana Kehm, K-E-H-M. You can check out her Facebook group. It's called Help Find Shannon House. Her son is Shannon House, and he went missing in California. And he's still missing to this day, and we're trying to figure out what happened and draw attention to the case of Shannon House. Levana Kehm, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on. Like I was just telling you a minute ago, I know how tough it is to talk about a loved one that's in jeopardy. You know, we need to find this young man. But before we get to your son, Shannon House, tell us about yourself. Who is Levana Kehm?
I'm a Native American, and I'm 65. I'm a grandmother with three great-grandchildren. And I stay at home and watch my grandkids so my kids don't have to pay daycare because the prices are just outrageous here in California. So I stay home and just watch grandkids all day, every day.
No, that's, and, what a blessing, man. That's the greatest thing you could do. I would swap with you in a second, you know?
Right? Yeah. Right. Yes, I'm very blessed. And I have a large family. I had seven kids. So Shannon being missing is like a big piece of our hearts.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us about Shannon? And what kind of a man is Shannon House?
He was a huge heart, would do anything for friends, had a moral compass that was, you know, to die for. I maybe heard him curse in front of me a total of five times his entire life, and he went missing when he was 39, so that's saying a lot. He was so bright and very handy with his hands. He could do anything from plumbing, electrical, drywalling to he drove truck for a while. So he when he went missing, he was carrying a truck driver's license. So he's a man of all trades, very patient, no children, loved his nieces and nephews and his brother and sister. So
the age, what do you call that? You know, was oldest, youngest? Where did he fit in the age of all the kids?
He was the second to the oldest and my firstborn son.
Gotcha. And what year did he turn up missing?
2015.
October 11th.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the day that he turned missing, that he went missing?
Yeah, we could start there. I was at home, and him and his brother were both working there. It was Shannon's job. He was partners with a gentleman that he had met over there. So he was partnering. He had been working with him for two or three years prior to that, and then this was the first year he was going to the mountains to work on a marijuana grow. So he asked his brother to go up there with him because it was really, really in a desolate area. It was Kettenpalm, California. And his brother, younger brother, called me at about 11 a.m. and told me that Shannon was missing. He couldn't find him. And so I got two of his sisters and I and one of the property owners, his girlfriend, because I didn't know if we could find our way up there. And she drove us up. And we got there, and Thomas was, which is Shannon's younger brother, was had been frantically looking for him since, I believe he said, 5 in the morning. I'm unsure about that time, but
when you talked to Thomas, how did he say they became separated?
He said that he had went to bed that night, and that he assumed Shannon was out in his truck listening to music. So he fell asleep in the little travel trailer they were sleeping in. And he assumed Shannon was out in the truck. And then he woke up the next morning to go down and start watering. And Shannon, he couldn't find Shannon. So he thought he may be in one of the other buildings on the property. So he went ahead and finished watering and then started looking for him. When he couldn't find him, then he called me. But he had to travel a ways to get a reception to even call me and tell me that Shannon was gone.
Right. So this is 2015. That is way before marijuana is legal. And so this was an illegal marijuana grow farm. It was an outdoor farm or a sheltered farm? What kind of farm was it?
It was an outdoor farm. They had depots, like, you know, the big greenhouses, but then they also had just big plants on the outside growing. Yeah.
And what was their duties? Just to water?
To stay, watch the marijuana,
right,
so that no one stole it, and to water it and feed it and take care of it every day.
So were they armed?
No.
Really? They weren't armed?
No.
But they're supposed to be up there guarding the pot?
Yes.
Okay, that's fascinating. Okay. Now, was there any marijuana missing?
No.
That's interesting too, right? So
it is.
Okay, so then
the very next day they were going to start cutting it down. So pretty much it was all said and done at that time. It was time to start harvesting it.
And that's what's known as the most terrifying time, because that's when they come to steal it, you know, before you're about to cut it. Yeah, that's when you're really on guard, and you're really, everybody's usually armed to the teeth. And even you'll see these, like people, anyway, we won't even go on, move from that. Now, what about Nashen? Did he have any kind of a head injury or any kind of a learning disability that would cause him maybe to just wander off? Did he ever wander off on his own?
No, he never had before. And that was what I told the police officer when I filed the report and he came the next day. I told him, I cannot see him leaving his younger brother. I just cannot see him walking off and leaving his brother. And, of course, that's what they put on the flyers, was that Shannon had just walked away. Mm. But I could not see him just wandering off. Now, he had been on some medication, some gabapentin, is for nerve damage. He had been hit by a car. So he was like tapering off. It was said at one point that he had totally quit taking it, but I had spoke with Thomas and he said no, he was tapering off of it because he didn't like the feeling that he was, you know, getting from taking them. So he wanted to stop them, but he didn't want to stop them like immediately. So he was tapering off just like he was supposed to be.
And
I wanted to go back to the being armed there.
Yeah.
Shannon told me that he felt safe up there because there were other people that he knew that were growing on the mountain, and he had grown up with or had grown up with their siblings or cousins or whatever. So this is a bad area, I've learned since then, but I'm not sure Shannon actually knew how bad it was up there, or Thomas. Hmm. I think there was an unspoken, unlearned attitude that they were okay because they were out in the middle of nowhere. But since then, I've learned that is terrifying how dangerous it is up there. You know, there's just so many missing up there.
Yeah, it's not like the 70s or the 80s anymore. It's a whole new ball game, you know, because a lot of these grow farms are run by cartels, too, you know, so...
And they are up there too. Yeah. I've since learned they are right down the road. They're.
Now, what about these other people that Shannon knew? Has anybody spoke to them and interviewed them?
I have asked and spoke with some of them. My daughter has, and I spoke with an aunt, but no one seems to know anything about what you know. Shannon disappearing. Just nobody knows anything.
And this idea, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The day we arrived up there to look for Shannon, when I got out of the car, the first thing that the male property owner said to me was, he's not on this property. And I thought, well, it's only been a few hours since you've been here. How would you know? Because I believe the property was 99 acres. Mm. I thought, how would you, and there were buildings and, you know, a large area. So I was thinking, how would you automatically know that just within a few hours?
And since then, has this property owner been cooperative with the search and the investigation?
I have no idea. I don't know that he's ever even been questioned, besides for a few minutes the day that they did show up after I called him. They spoke with Thomas for a few minutes. They spoke with the property owner for a few minutes. And I don't know that he was, anybody was even questioned professionally or, you know, like you would think. It was just standing outside talking to him for a few minutes, asking a few questions, and then they drove off.
Oh, brother. Okay. Yeah. I want to clear up something, though, this idea of walking away, wandering off. Where could you wander off to? You'd be walking for days to get someplace, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because even, and it was very hot up there. It was still at that point where it was very hot. And although there was a lot of traffic on the road, you know, with people leaving and taking their marijuana and leaving the mountain and stuff going back and forth, I'm not sure that, and there are some people who do live up there in that area, but I'm not sure you'd really want to get in a car with someone now that I know what I know. I don't know if Shannon was making me feel like it was okay and they were safe, or if he actually felt that way. I'm not sure, but now I know it was totally not safe up there.
Yeah.
I mean, not at all.
What was Shannon's relationship with the property owner? Were they previous friends or they had just met?
No, Shannon was friends with the property owner's girlfriend. That's how they met.
Okay, and what does she have to say about all this?
Well, we're not speaking anymore because I confronted them. I mean, they had been together for a lot of years, and her boyfriend had owned that property for, I don't know, 20-some, 30 years. And they just kind of, you know, let us go by the wayside, didn't keep in touch. And then I heard from someone else that had been growing up there that... the eyes, his exact quote to me, or to my daughter was, the eyes the mountains have eyes, and, you know, they know exactly what happened to him up there. They're just not saying. And I don't know if it was an accident that they wanted to cover up so they could finish harvesting, or if, you know, actually he got, one of them hurt him, or... you know, an accident hit by a car and they covered it up. I have no idea, but I do know that Shannon is gone, and it was unlike him to miss a birthday or, you know, any kind of Mother's Day or anything without calling or, you know, being with us to celebrate. It was just not Shannon to totally walk away and not ever come back.
Right, and there's been no use of his bank cards, credit cards, debit cards, anything like that?
No. I kept track of his, he had $300 in his checking account.
Okay.
And it was a checking account that took out, a fee every month. And I watched it dwindle every month. until there was nothing left, and then they just closed it. So, you know.
Banks are leeches, you know. I tell you, it's disgusting. What about his cell phone usage? Anything, any activity on his cell phone?
No.
Is that because there's no cell service up there in those mountains?
There was, where they were, there was no cell phone service. They had to travel, like, to either to the top of the property or maybe 2 miles down the road.
Gotcha.
To get service, yeah.
Okay. And did the police ever do any kind of a triangulation of the cell signal for his phone to try and locate him?
Yeah, this Detective Ford that's on, you know, he has Shannon's case now. He has done that, he told me. But he told me a few months ago that, because I stopped by over there, I don't hear from them. I have to go in search or call. And I stopped over there a few months back, and he told me that as far as finding Shannon, he thinks they will stumble upon him in one of the groves eventually. Mm. So.
Now, when the police went up there to take this missing persons report, did they say, oh, my goodness, look, there's marijuana here. Let's arrest these people for growing marijuana. Was anything like that?
No.
But the police are aware that it's a marijuana grow farm.
Oh, yeah. They drove right into it, right past the big part of it, the little part of it where Shannon and Thomas were staying in a trailer and everything. But they also said that this time of the year, actually, it was a Detective Ward that said, 'tis the season. You know, he might show back up later. And we're not going to go on private property searching for him.
Really?
Yeah.
So
if they didn't have permission from all the growers out there, they weren't going to enter their property and search, which dumbfounded me. I thought when there's a missing person, you should be able to go anywhere and search for them. But they weren't going to cross property lines to look for anybody, no matter what happened.
What kind of search efforts have you taken on your own? Drones, dogs?
Yeah. Well, we finally, my daughter had an aunt that had worked for Trinity County, and she finally got the sheriff to go take dogs up there, I believe it was December 18th, and Shannon was missing October 11th, and they finally took dogs up there, but they wouldn't leave the property where Shannon was working. They wouldn't go any other properties. They made them stay right on that property. So not only was it a long time in between where Shannon was missing, but they, again, would not leave the property. So if he was, you know, 2 feet on the guys next door, we would have never found him because they weren't going to let the dogs go that way. So same problem. I don't know what it is or if it's even legal that they do that, but that was the only search that they did. I contacted a tracker that the Forest Service person had recommended and hired him to go up and look, Kevin Hodgins. And he spent a long time up there trying to track Shannon's footprints and find him. And he got 2 miles from the property and then said that was as far as he could track Shannon. But he thought there had been some kind of a scuffle from the marks that were in the ground and stuff, and that they had loaded Shannon into a vehicle. So that's what he thought. That's where he ended, where he thought it had, you know, where Shannon had went missing. He went later on to tell me, you know, rumors he had heard, but... that's where he ended. And then we bought a drone and went up and searched my daughters and my son and my son-in-law and I. And then we went armed. Yes, we did. And we didn't find anything. We did the bluffs and stuff where we thought, you know, maybe he had fallen down or someone had thrown him off of. We did those and walked up and down the road. Looking on the side of the road in case he had been hit by a car or something. And then we hired some guys from Sacramento that flew drones. And we hired Air Shasta. A helicopter company came out and flew for 2 days when Shannon first went missing. We looked until Thursday, and then we came home. I called them, and they went out and flew. They did 3 different flights. I believe it was Friday and Saturday, and then a couple weeks later, they went and flew another day.
So, and this is all your own efforts at your own expense?
Yes.
This Facebook page, Help Find Shannon House, is there an option for donations, for people to make donations to help support your efforts?
No, but that's a good idea. We probably should start a GoFundMe again.
Yeah.
I believe I will do that. Maybe we could go back up that way because, yeah, it's been.
Now, Kevin Hodgins, is that what the tracker was?
Yes.
Now, okay, that's fascinating. That's fascinating that this tracker was able to find and track his footprints that far. Now, was this just one set of footprints, or were there others along with his footprints?
As far as I remember, there was only Shannon's until, but he thought someone was following or chasing Shannon is why he went off, which kind of made sense to me. If Shannon were to run or to get away from there, he would have wanted to draw them away from his younger brother. He was, you know, very protective older brother. He would have took any trouble and left, you know, without any fuss to make sure Thomas hadn't been, you know.
Yeah, but Shannon was about 300 pounds, right?
He was. He was a big guy.
And he could run? He could run at 300? This guy was running?
And very strong. You know, this will amaze you. He actually had at one point a year or so before that lost 150 pounds by walking. He had where he walked 10 miles a day. I mean, Shannon is very determined, and when he wants to do something, and very strong. People were shocked at, you know, had worked with him and stuff, how strong and what a hard worker that Shannon was. That's why he was up there. I mean, and the kind of work that he did over the years, I mean, a lot of people had a lot of respect for Shannon. He was a big guy.
Yeah, yes, so now was. The tracker, now he says the scuffle took place at the beginning of the trail or at the end of the trail?
No, it was a couple at the end, a couple of miles away from the
And that's where the scuffle took place.
Property. Yeah.
And was that on somebody else's property that perhaps he was trespassing?
Yeah. That would have been Mina Road.
So he was
that would have been on the road or someone's property, yeah.
So he would have been trespassing on somebody else's land?
He could have been, yeah. That was another thing. There was a property across the street that and another tracker had been called in at the beginning, too, when she came up and looked for him, Diana Totten, but she never found Shannon either. So, yeah, we did put some effort in, and we went back up there I don't know how many times. And Shannon had a friend that had another friend who owned a small airplane, and they voluntarily went up there and flew that looking for him, too. And also had one of his best friends had gone with Kevin Hodgins and helped track Shannon. So he also had an aunt and an uncle that lived, you know, a few miles away from up there. And they had rappelled down mountains and had tried to track and look, you know, and had gone on to properties that were empty, buildings that were empty, caves, I believe, that were up there. They had also searched all those. So it wasn't just us in it. It was other people, too, that put in a lot of effort and time to find anything. Yeah, anything. No police help, but lots of help from family and friends.
Now, this fellow, the Kevin Hodgins, he said that he heard rumors. What rumors did he hear?
He heard that a volunteer fire, a gentleman that worked for the Kenton Palm Volunteer Fire Department was present when they had him and six other people had buried Shannon.
And does he know the reason? What would be their motive to harm Shannon?
All Kevin told me was that Shannon was up there doing something he shouldn't have been doing.
Hmm.
Whatever that means. Because they were all up there doing the same thing.
Well,
so I don't know if he got in a fight with someone next door or whatever, I was not, you know, privy to that, so I don't know.
Well, was he the type of, and his brother would know, right? If they were up there stealing other guy's pot, his brother would know, right?
Oh, yeah. Shannon was not going to, he wouldn't be doing anything like anything that was, no, he would not be doing anything. I don't know what he could be talking about because, yeah, there's no way.
How much
he was doing anything he wasn't supposed to be doing.
Okay.
He was up there in his own business, staying on that property the whole time. So,
how much were they getting paid for the job up there?
They got paid, I think he was getting a percentage.
Hmm.
Supposed to be getting a percentage, and they gave him like $1,000 a month to stay up there, and that was supposed to take care of the fuel to run the equipment to keep all the foliage cut down. And I wish Thomas was here to help with this one.
That's okay.
Their food, their fuel back and forth, because they'd have to go to town and buy, you know, chemicals to and feeds for the plants. And so I believe it was some type of percentage. He was supposed to be in like a partnership. But they were funding it while they stayed there. Yeah.
So it was a percentage. You don't know what the percentage was?
I cannot remember.
Okay. Now, after his disappearance, did Thomas get that percentage?
No.
So no one got any money after all the work he did?
No. Thomas got money.
Okay.
But it was not near what it would have been because of the amount of marijuana they thought they were getting.
Yeah.
That they should have gotten, the number of plants, the number of pounds per plant, all of that was way off.
Okay, then do you know how many pounds they were going to harvest?
I do not. Thomas does.
Thomas would know?
Yeah. He would know, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Should I send me an email? I'd be interested in hearing that. Because do you think this is an amount of money? You know the expression, it's cheaper to kill you than to pay you? Would it be like in that range?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I've wondered about that because they didn't have a good relationship. He was actually better friends, like I said, with the girlfriend.
Okay.
And there were heated arguments, you know, on Shannon's phone. And he wouldn't let Shannon use like the, he had a machine to ride on up back and forth a quad, and he wouldn't let Shannon use that. So Shannon had to use his new truck that he had just bought, and it's, you know, as a quad to go to the grow and stuff. He was hateful about, one time they came in to get groceries and do their laundry and stuff, and he was meeting his nephew for the first time that had just been born. And he was 45 minutes late, and Josh, you know, got furious that he was late, and that was on the phone. So he was always picking at him and stuff anyway, you know. And so the relationship wasn't a good one. Shannon had told me he, you know, didn't like the way he was being treated, that Josh wasn't a nice person, and he didn't like the way he treated his girlfriend either.
Hmm.
He was really, said he was, you know, like abusive.
Okay, but and even though there was abuse, but, oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Not that I know physically, but abusive, you know, like talking to her and stuff the way he would be.
So then even though you characterize that relationship as abusive, the girlfriend stopped cooperating you. Could you remind me again why that happened, that she stopped cooperating?
Yeah, I think, you mean because I confronted him, asking him where Shannon was. That may have been it. I did. I heard rumors that, you know, they knew more than they were saying. And it just seemed odd to me that they had owned the property for so many years and they had no clue what had happened. But yet rumors were floating around that, you know, they did know something. So I confronted them.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, Shannon's employment on that property, I'm assuming it was all cash, right?
Yes.
Okay. That goes without saying. Yeah. It was cash. Okay. But now what about, was in the police report, the initial police reports, was it acknowledged that he was employed on that property?
Yes.
Really? Have you ever considered a civil suit?
No, I haven't. I don't know. I just want Shannon.
No, I know. But a civil suit could open up depositions, questioning. A lot of stuff could come out in a civil suit.
I never thought of that.
We're going to have to talk after the show, okay? We're going to have to, not immediately after the show, but I'm going to be back in contact with you. Okay. This is the kind of stuff we do. Okay.
Thank you.
And I would love to see some justice in this case. Oh, boy. Right. So we got all the rumors. Now, did Thomas continue working there, or he had to tell it out of there?
No, he left with me. He went downhill and left. I did stay in contact with them for a while.
Right.
That is Thomas and my daughters. And I even went down there with them and sat while they supposedly trimmed it up afterwards, after we took about 3 weeks off to freak out and figure out what was going on, so that we would stay in contact with them to see what they said, what they did, what was going on with them. I did all of that. Fact is, I did stay friendly with them, even to meet all of them, to meet his mother, her mother, all of them, trying to figure out what had happened to Shannon. I wanted to know where they, you know, where they lived, what they did for a living, all of it. And so we did stay in contact after, but for a while, but then they just sort of pushed us, you know, out of the picture and away. And I could tell they were like just wanting to get rid of us, you know, wanting us to just go away, because it was, why? You know, if I had someone missing on my property and I was innocent, I would totally want to stay in top contact with those people to figure out, you know, or to find out what had happened and to help them out if they needed. They didn't pay for any of the, anything to help look for Shannon. They paid for none of it. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. Not a dime.
Do you know how, especially when you're dealing with someone's mother, okay?
Yeah.
You gotta be really cold-hearted to look at that mother and not have a guilty conscience. And did you sense guilt?
Yeah, I did. And she gave me a ride. Her and her friend gave me a ride. Like I said, you couldn't make phone calls on that property.
Yeah.
So I was up when we were looking for Shannon with my other children, grown children, but we were, I didn't know what they had done to him. I was terrified to have all my other children there. I asked Thomas, are we going to make it off this mountain? You know, I mean, everything went through my head. And on the way up to the property with her friend, or up to the top of the property to call the police to do the missing person report, she's crying and she's saying, I can't believe I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose all the money we made, you know, we were going to make this year. You know, all my plans are shot. All she could talk about was what she was, you know, going to miss. And finally, she was so bad to the point and crying that her friend said, he's a human being and his mother's in the back seat.
Wow.
But it took her friend to say those things to get her to stop. And I was like, I would do anything to find Shannon.
And so did the friend live up there?
No, she had come up there to bring her back up when we were still up there searching, because we stayed from Monday when we first found out he was missing until Thursday. And that was another thing. Thursday was the last, you know, the last day they wanted us to search. They wanted us to leave. They set me down and they said, how long do you plan on staying? Sorry.
It's okay.
They wanted us out of there so they could finish harvesting. And I was thinking, I want to stay here until I find my son. But they wanted us to go, so...
Well, and also too, why couldn't they harvest if you were there? When what's to prevent?
I don't know. I knew what they were doing. I mean, we were all sitting right in the middle of it. What was the issue with that? I have no idea. But I don't understand. I just don't understand how they think. I don't get it.
Now my question about the friend. Did it seem to you that the friend had the same suspicions that you had, or do you think that the friend had specific knowledge of something happening?
I think they got feelings. I'm not sure what she was thinking, but she did have another friend that told me that she didn't like Josh, the property owner.
The friend didn't like Josh?
Yeah.
Now, have you had anybody look into... and doing background checks on the people involved to see if they have any lawsuits or any criminal records or any kind of divorces or people you could reach out and contact that would maybe have a hard feelings with them that would talk to you?
Well, that's an issue because the property owner over there that he was working for, had the partnership with,
right,
is a nephew of a deputy sheriff in Humboldt County.
Gotcha.
So that kind of put a damper in anything of getting any help, you know, with anything like that. I did contact two private investigators and they refused to go out there, both of them.
Well, really? Were they local?
Yes. One was in Eureka. And the other one, I think, was in McKinleyville, I think.
And did they give you a reason why they were declining the case?
Because of the area.
Right, because you mentioned before off the air that so many people go missing up in that area?
Yes. Yeah, 2 months before Shannon, a gentleman, Dustin Martin, went missing. And there's been a Louis Taylor missing up there. There's several names. I should have researched it and had the names here but there's been several missing. Now, some have been found, not many.
Now, the circumstances surrounding their disappearances, is it just as mysterious as this one, Shannon, a house, or is it more known what happened to them?
Dustin Martin is. There's been no trace of him. He was in a marijuana grow in Hay Fork, and... a friend went to check on him, and I believe he found the little dog and the keys inside his tent, and nothing of him. Not just totally disappeared without anything. Nothing. No. And since they've been missing the same amount of time, it's been 7 years, and nothing from him still.
And was that the same time of the season, too, right before harvest?
Dustin was missing, I believe, in July and Shannon October. So Dustin would have been in the middle of it and right. Shannon would have been at the end.
Okay. And related to the sheriff, how else did the sheriff department fail you in this? What are the negligence? Can we find on their end of things?
They didn't search at all. They didn't just immediately. They did not search at all the very first day. And I, you know, and everybody else actually invited them there. And it's weird to me that they wouldn't leave the property. But initially, no search whatsoever. None. And I know that, you know, I don't know if they were afraid for their safety up there or, you know, I'm not sure. It's almost like they're protective of some people up there or, you know,
Well, there's cash, and that's, you know, that's a pattern when there's a lot of cash. But the thing is, if their stated theory, did they ever put down in writing that they felt that he wandered off?
Yeah, because they're the ones that first initiated the first flyers. They're the ones that first made all the flyers in the beginning. I've since went through and tried to change some of them and say that he's just missing from that property instead of he walked away. Some I can change and some I can't. But they're the ones that first did that, first. I mean, I don't know that he walked away.
No, but the thing is, if they're saying that he walked away, then it's a search and rescue. And there would be no reason to stop at a borderline or a property line. That's ridiculous.
Oh, exactly. I never even thought of that. Okay. I didn't even think of that.
If you're investigating a possible homicide, and you know, even then, you have to get a search warrant to search someone's property, dig up their backyard, and find the dead bodies. Okay, I understand that. Even with cadaver dogs. But with search and rescue, well, of course you're going to search and rescue. You don't stop at a line. A guy wandered off.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a possible lawsuit against them, too, as well. You know, they never made any effort to find him. I'm not that familiar with this wilderness area, but at this stage of the game, if your son has passed away, with the elements out there and the wildlife, there would be no real remains, correct?
I'm afraid that was what I've been told.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I tell you. And once again, the Facebook page is Help Find Shannon House. And if you have any information about this, you can email me too at opermanreport@gmail.com. If you're in this area, if you know any rumors, something we could follow up on, and please get a hold of me too as well. I would love to get some resolution to all this. It's just heartbreaking. Any threats or an intimidation since you've gone public with this website?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Okay. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you want the audience to know?
No, I think you did a good job of covering it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Once again, the Facebook page is Help Find Shannon House. We've been talking to Lavanna Kehm, K-E-H-M. If you got any tips, you can even call my 800 number, 800-572-9762, 800-572-9762, and say it's regarding the Shannon House disappearance, and I'll forward that information to Lavanna Kehm immediately. Lavanna, I can't thank you enough. But like I said, I know how difficult it is. I do a lot of reporting on young men that were killed by police, young unarmed men committing no crime that wound up dead because of their contact with police, and I understand how difficult it is. It's always a mother. It's always a sister who comes on and does the interview. And I understand leading up to it is difficult. The interview is difficult. But I know the rest of your day is going to be difficult too as well. So I really do appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. Is there anything you want to leave us with?
No, I can't think of anything. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry whatsoever. Thank you so much. And I just ask the audience to keep Lavanna Kehm in prayer and her family suffering through this tragedy here. It's senseless in so many ways. Ms. Kehm, thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me talk about Shannon.
No problem. Any new tips or any new information, get a hold of me right away, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.